Chapter 60. Taxes. Though centuries had passed for the world spirit, only seconds had passed for the denizens of Earth. When time had first frozen, Finn had silently cursed, thinking one of his opponents had a time-stop ability. They'd somehow figured out that his elemental splinter was going to explode, and they'd kept it in the room with him so he'd blow up instead. After seconds passed, however, he noticed that while the golden flame-colored crystal still glowed, the flashing had thankfully stopped. After 7 seconds, a series of glowing windows appeared in the vision of every single person around the world who was connected to the labyrinth. Across the planet, new enabled and powered were created as well, though far less of the latter were made during this second awakening. The windows were accompanied by the sensation of heavy vibration. What would shock people in the days to come was that everyone, labyrinth connected or not, was able to feel the reverberation.
Global announcement. Global announcement. Global announcement. Let it be known. Your energy null world has corrected its deficiency, leading to an energy surplus for the first time in its history. World energy density, level 1. The increase of energy in your world will have many consequences. One such effect is the emergence of short-lived gateways called instances, which will now appear in your world. Find and conquer these instances to increase your power. Ignore this opportunity at your peril. Know this. The emergence of instances has unlocked a blessing of your world. Instance tokens. Instance tokens. Many are the worlds and realities housed in instances. Yet, instances can be hidden in the highest mountain bluff or the deepest ocean valley. Use these tokens to find instances. Danger and reward are close bedfellows. Know this. Progressing the spread of energy in your world shall be rewarded. Those who ignore the needs of your world shall be punished.
This series of prompts flowed past his vision and into his mind, despite the world remaining frozen. In addition to the windows he was reading, an additional bit of knowledge was downloaded into Finn's mind. The initial messages had been seen by everyone in the world connected to the labyrinth. He had no idea how many people that meant, but he did know that those without an interface, who hadn't been enabled, weren't told anything. He also knew that the next prompts were customized for each person that was connected to the labyrinth.
Congratulations. You have completed a secret quest of the World Ascension quest chain. Cradle of Chaos. Quest grade, Radiant Gold, A. Quest rank, Common. Quest type, World Ascension. The world you inhabit must thrive or be consumed like all beings of the labyrinth. By your actions, you have helped to increase your world's energy to level 1. Increasing the energy of your world can greatly increase your chances of survival in the labyrinth. Energy is the foundation of power. Power is to be praised. Individual rewards will now be distributed to the denizens of your world based on their energy contribution. Of all the beings of your world, you have contributed the greatest amount of energy via your Magicka tithe. Your contribution is rated SSS. The labyrinth has awarded you the highest rewards allowed for your power level of 0. Do you wish to collect your rewards?
Finn quickly thought, yes, and a brightly glowing window took over his vision.
You have earned C-grade reward, 150 experience points, 100 Magicka. B-grade reward, 300 experience points, 2 silver ducat, 300 Magicka. A-grade reward, 1 uncommon second rank free attribute orb, 500 Magicka. S-grade reward, all lower grade rewards doubled, plus 100 nobility points, 150 of 100 to noble title. SS grade reward, one-time access to an instance labyrinth shop. SSS grade reward, skill blessing. Special reward for quest type, World Ascension.
plus 100 world favor points. The torrent of information was almost overwhelming. Still, none of it seemed nearly as interesting as his elemental splinter. Correction, his unstable trash elemental splinter. It hung in midair, not 2 feet away from him. Thankfully, though he couldn't move, the magical grenade he'd just created also seemed stuck in time. It also appeared that he was connected to it somehow, at least enough to know its worsening status.
20% chance to explode.
If you've never been told that a grenade only a couple feet from your face has a 1 in 5 chance of blowing up, you wouldn't quite get how stressful it can be. Finn checked several times over the next few seconds, but thankfully the number remained at 20%. After a half minute, he felt confident the number didn't mean a 20% chance to explode even though time was frozen. He literally knew he wasn't lucky enough to avoid a 1 in 5 chance 30 times in a row. With that worry paused for now, he forced himself to read the prompts again, hoping something, anything in there would help him get out of this situation. The first thing that struck him was how he'd been part of yet another secret quest. Those things were popping up like mushrooms after a storm. What this one had in common with the quest regarding his life cultivation seemed to be that pursuing power was rewarded. He thought back to one of the earliest notifications he'd received.
Welcome to the Age of Power.
There might be something to that. What was the point to accumulating this power, though? For that matter, what did it even mean that the world had leveled up? Was it a good or bad thing for humanity? He was being pushed to gain more power, but was he being encouraged to seize his destiny, or was he being fattened up for slaughter? No matter what the world or the labyrinth wanted, if it came for trouble one day, it would find him a hard nut to swallow. Of course, before any of that, he had to get out of this damn storage closet. Finn turned his attention to the rest of his rewards. Experience points? Leveling was still locked, so that was no help. Magicka? The opportunities that Magicka created were amazing, but try as he might, Finn wasn't able to recreate whatever he'd done to make the forced opportunity, so it wouldn't help him right now. Money? Well, he was an American, so he'd always take more of that, please, but not a help right now. But what was this? He'd gained enough points to be a noble? Finn focused with hope in his soul.
Error. Nobility cannot be achieved by pseudo-mortals. And once again, I've just got soap in my hole.
Not knowing how long he had until time resumed, he pushed down his irritation and went to the double S reward, Instance Labyrinth Shop. Predictably, he received another red screen of death.
Error. This cannot be accessed outside of an instance. Of course not.
The last two rewards, the SSS and the type reward, were no joy either. Whatever a skill blessing was, he didn't know how to access it, and world favorability was equally unhelpful. So, Finn was stuck there, frozen in time, his gaze occupied with a magical grenade that could go off at any second, a beam of orange death and destruction, and his own, even more destructive, inner thoughts.
What the fuck is the world even going to do with a level up?
Finn didn't know how long he'd been stuck in time at this point. There was no real way to measure it, but it felt like hours. While he'd been frozen, his active mind had been going nonstop. One concept his brain kept circling back to was the part of the world's level-up message that had talked about donating a Magicka tithe. Basically, every time he'd earned Magicka, half had gone to the Earth. That confirmed his suspicion he'd had for a while. Every time he'd gained Magicka, he'd been filled with euphoria while the vibrations spread through his body. After they concentrated beneath his throat, though, it had always felt like half of the vibrations drained away. It turned out he was right about that. The Magicka hadn't just disappeared. It had gone into the world itself. The Earth itself had taxed him each time. and it looked like those taxes had been used by the Earth to level up somehow. That meant nearly every action he'd taken to strengthen himself, to grow his new powers, had increased the amount of energy in the entire world. And not just him. Everyone that had been given an interface by the wave had probably been increasing the world's energy accumulation as well. What did that mean about his and everyone on Earth's relationship with the world? The prompt had called humans the Earth's children. Based on how humanity had treated the planet, Finn wouldn't be surprised if Mom was tired of her kids trashing the house. Historically, that meant getting an all-expense-paid ride to the Army recruitment office. Not that an orphan like him would know how moms really acted. Jokes aside, Finn had come to a grim realization. That even in a damn video game fantasy world, you couldn't escape taxes. Almost mockingly, right after that thought, his frozen purgatory was broken by a new series of prompts that proved, in Finn's humble opinion, that the Earth was a greedy little bugger.
Know this. Your world has also decided to offer its children the chance to purchase rewards using magicka as currency. How goddamn altruistic, Finn thought. You just can't make this shit up. So we're not being kicked out of the house, but we are being given the opportunity to start paying rent. Due to your SSS grade in the secret quest, Cradle of Chaos, you are allowed to purchase rewards up to the maximum rank, limited, allowed by the labyrinth for your state of being. Only one purchase can be made from each rank. Rank, common, reward. Attribute orb, common, magicka cost 100. Attribute orb, uncommon, magicka cost 275. Rank, uncommon, reward. Instance portal token, magicka cost 200. Personalized instance portal token, magicka cost 550. Rank, limited, reward. Pouch of holding, 10 slots, magicka cost 500. Dimensional ring, 10 cubic yards, magicka cost 1,100. Time will resume in 1 minute. You have that long to make your choice, or these rewards will be lost. A counter appeared, ticking down in the corner of his vision. After all that time frozen, now I only get a minute to make my choice? Finn thought in irritation. Whatever. Maybe I'll finally get something I can use against these sandy-headed bastards. Finn started reading the various options for about 2 seconds before going full America. I'll just take it all. Thinking that, he purchased the more expensive reward from each rank. If not for his primordial quest chain and radiant gold grade in the secret quest, he wouldn't have had nearly enough magicka. But thankfully, he had money to burn. And in any case, Finn would have been happy if he'd just had enough magicka to buy one reward, the portal token. He didn't know where it would lead, and didn't know why a personalized one would be better than the base model, but both options had the word portal in them. Finn had read enough lit RPG books to know that he'd just been given a way out of here. Even if instances sounded dodgy as all get out, it was better than here. The twin beams of orange destruction that were frozen only a foot to the left argued that point better than anything. Nothing like staring at something that could slice you in half for hours on end to put a situation into perspective. It was time to go. Finn made his choice. 1,875 magicka deducted. You have acquired attribute orb, uncommon. You have acquired personalized instance portal token. You have acquired dimensional ring, 10 cubic yards. Material rewards will be available for the next 7 days. Total magicka, 384. As soon as he purchased the rewards, the reverberations below his throat woke all at once. The vibrations felt so strong that it seemed like they should cause pain, but they didn't. Instead, the magicka effortlessly poured out of him like he'd opened a faucet. To his surprise, once he'd made his choice, time resumed. Not exactly a full minute, Finn thought in irritation. That feeling quickly fled, however, as he noticed a difference in the air. It was like his skin had been parched and a wet breeze had blown in.
His thinking was clearer than after pounding a triple espresso, and he felt pure energy pouring into his body. It was intoxication without inebriation. It was rubbing aloe on a burn or loosening your belt after a big meal. A faint sense of discomfort that he didn't even know he'd been ignoring his entire life was soothed to the barest extent, and that small sucker was the greatest of all gifts. He'd never known he could feel this way. He'd never known. Time seemed to slow once more, but this time it was not due to temporal energy or an action of the labyrinth. This was a sigh of the heart. Finn, along with every being on Earth, experienced a rebirth. Truth echoed in his soul, and yet there were no words. There were no words. No words. Poetry. His spirit wept in completion and joy.
They should have sent a poet. So beautiful. I had no idea.
A red flash drew his eye and broke the spell. His heart finished exhaling beauty, and the ugliness of his chosen reality crashed back down around him. Time resumed. What he had experienced had changed him forever, but emotions of such purity were not meant for such an imperfect vessel. The amazing sense of universal connection disappeared, banished by the flashing of the crystal of life and fire flying towards the door. Finn's mind hardened as he focused back on the here and now. The crystal sailed through the hole in the door. At the same moment, the twin beams of orange light winked out. He was happy to see them go, but never did he think it was because his pursuers had chosen to show mercy.
I'm just not the only one who is affected by the world's leveling.
Finn shook his head. He didn't have time to worry about it. There was no doubt that the crystal's inner light had flashed brighter than it had before. It was going to blow, and it'd be best if he wasn't here when it did. Accessing his interface, he fervently scanned for something he prayed was there.
Yes!
He accessed a new icon on his interface. As he did, a light blue sphere popped into existence, like a planet of latex paint.
You have found Reliquary.
Finn tapped it, and a circular silver disc dropped into his hand. It had a white crystal in the middle. A script he couldn't read was embossed on both sides.
You have found personalized instance portal token. Do you wish to use it now? Yes.
Finn thought furiously. Nothing happened, except a series of new prompts tried to pop up that he minimized to look at later. He had to get out of here. Unfortunately, the token didn't want to cooperate. As one long second passed after another, absolutely nothing happened. That wasn't exactly true. A certain number went up.
40% chance to explode.
After the third second, a new sensation filled him. Distinct from his intellectual caution regarding the elemental crystal that now had a 45% chance to explode, but who was counting, there was an instinctual and ominous feeling coming from the other side of the door now. He had to get out of here.
Start! Begin! Take me! Fucking Ready Player One!
Finn shouted out in quick succession, not sure if there was some magic phrase required to enter the instance. As more seconds passed, the ominous vibe coming from the other side of the door grew to full-blown dread.
65% chance.
The fire element that made up the splinter had come from absorbing the explosion of a fuel cell. Fuel cell explosions had been known to destroy entire houses. The life element was from cancer. There was no way being near that thing when it blew was going to be healthy. In panic, he focused back on the prompts waiting for him, hoping they had a way to activate the token. Indeed, there was something else he needed to decide before the token would trigger.
As this is a personalized instance token, you may choose one of three options to activate it. One. Option one! Option one!
Finn spat. He could feel the energy in the splinter, even on the other side of the door, though he had no idea how.
It felt unstable. Are you sure you wish to choose? Yes, goddammit! 75% chance. Good luck.
Finn exhaled in relief.
Welcome to hell.
Wait, what?
That same moment, the people on the other side of the nearly ruined storage room door were also being exposed to massive sources of energy, with widely divergent results. On one side, the instance token changed appearance as soon as Finn read the last prompt. What had been a silver token with a white gem morphed into a bronze token with a green gem. The script on the metal surrounding the jewels seemed to become more intricate as well. Before Finn could register what the changes might mean, it shot out from his hand, like a lodestone to a magnet. The instance token stopped moving as suddenly as it began. It slapped into empty air as if it was embedded in invisible clay. It didn't just stop, though. It impacted. Striking something Finn couldn't see, the token slammed into reality itself, spreading cracks through the air. From this vantage point, it looked like his view of the storage closet wasn't actually three-dimensional, but was instead a 2D picture of a storage closet. The green jewel in the center of the token shot forward, leaving the bronze ring behind. The gem shattered the picture of what Finn thought was the world. Shards of what he had always called reality collapsed into the passage that would take him to a greater future. He'd seen something like this once before. The wave had broken the entire sky, shards of blue flying upward like a shattered mirror. The instance token was doing the same thing, but on a much smaller scale. It was a repeat of the event that had occurred only days ago, but also a lifetime past. This time, there were not entire universes behind the broken painting of the world. Instead, there was a green void with concentric and alternating rings of bronze and red leading into infinity. Each ring was both smooth and yet also filled with innumerable scripts somehow. Finn could not read the language, but it irritated his mind with truths he was not yet ready to learn. 85% chance. The red of the rings conveyed an intangible menace. But Finn just bared his teeth in response to the silent threat. Grabbing the pillowcases with his belongings, he dove into a brighter and more dangerous tomorrow. On the other side of the door, most of his pursuers were still basking in the sublime feeling of the world's increased energy concentration. It flooded their cells and the space between their molecules. At energy level 1, most denizens of the labyrinth would still consider the Earth to be the harshest of deserts, a place that could literally not support most forms of evolved life. To the men and women of Earth, however, who had spent every moment of their lives on a null world, it was like divinity itself was being breathed into them. Those who had lived on the moon would find the Sahara a true paradise. That was why when a red and gold jewel flew through a certain door, it landed in the hallway without anyone noticing. Even as it flashed brighter, the distracted scions of the Lotus in shadow failed to understand their peril. In fact, only two of the people in the hallway had enough power to finally detect the dangerous emanations coming from the crystal before it was too late. Neither Sola nor Jürgen knew exactly what caught their attention. After all, the gem's flashes were not very eye-catching in the bright light of the hall. Whatever had drawn their gaze, once they saw the crystal, they knew on an instinctual level that they were looking at something both powerful and dangerous. Summoning her ability, Sola ducked around the corner of the hall. For good measure, she knelt down and created an ice wall with her ability. It was barely 2 feet high and no more than a few millimeters thick, but she poured everything she had into it. Pain shot through her body as she overtaxed her reserves. She paid it no heed. As the wall thickened, the tips of her fingers turned black, unable to tolerate the ice energy she was channeling. Jürgen, being directly in front of the now savage door, did not have that option. Instead, he grabbed Klaus. Placing the meat wall between him and the flashing jewel, the team leader snarled. He didn't know why he should be so afraid of a tiny gem, but he had learned to trust his instincts. The muscular man barely had time to look back in irritation before the elemental splinter exploded. Raw fire and life element expanded violently in an explosion of golden flame. The floor beneath the gem melted immediately. Radiating out from the ignition point, a conflagration was birthed. Red flames with golden tips shot down the hallway in both directions. The heat made everyone inhale in pain, providing a wonderfully convenient passageway for the flames to follow. Incandescent element coursed down the throats of several members of the Lotus Familia, first searing, then melting their lungs. Flesh cooked and hair caught on fire. Klaus was lifted off his feet and slammed backwards, the front of his body a charred mess. Jürgen's own body was sandwiched between his meat shield and the wall. Sola's own meager defense was shattered in an instant. Her summoned ice did serve to slightly weaken the blast, however, the water element of her ability canceling out some of the destructive power of the blast. Ultimately, she only suffered mild bruises and surface burns, despite blacking out for a moment. In the aftermath, the Japanese woman clambered back onto her feet, barely wincing at the pain. Her perfect hair was completely askew, but she couldn't find a fuck to give. She'd also suffered injuries from both the explosion and her unrestrained use of power, but it was nothing compared to the pain she'd endured in the past. In line with her training, she did a quick self-evaluation. Both arms were red and dusky from her elbows to her proximal interphalangeal joints. The front of both forearms were blistered from the heat. Distal to her PIPs, heat damage gave way to cold trauma. The very tips of her fingers were the black of dead flesh. Pain washed through her in waves, but her honed mind would not be undone, especially since every breath was bringing more energy, mana, and vitality into her body. To most people on Earth, they would just feel better and have no idea why. To a member of a familia, the increase in the Earth's energy level meant so much more. Her body had been altered by rituals similar to those that the Lotus Familia baptized their members with. Those rituals were costly, but they turned the Familias into something more than human. They brought health, beauty, and potential. They also turned each family member into slaves, addicts that needed specialized food and support to fully function. It was a need that had never fully been filled. Until now. Sola was a fallow field, and at long last, the rain had come. Every cell in her body eagerly drank. The pain she was experiencing would make normal men and women double over in agony, but she was filled with wonder. Besides, while it would cost her almost all of the coins she accumulated, her reserves would be enough to buy a healing glyph. In a day or so, her injuries would all be gone, as long as her family didn't kill her for what had happened here. To that point, she walked around the corner to see just what had happened. Looking down the corridor, Sola saw a sight that belonged in a war zone, not a hospital. The area directly in front of the storage room looked like a bomb had gone off. What wasn't cracked and dented was melted. The surrounding floor, walls, and ceiling were all scored with scorch marks and soot. Cracks spread out from the area, large enough that Sola was not sure this part of the hospital even remained structurally sound. All of that only addressed the damage to the building. The human cost was much higher. Bodies lay in pieces. They were crisped, scorched, cooked, or all three. One dismembered arm was still burning rosily, filling the hallway with the scent of barbecue pork. The few living members of the Lotus Familia mewled on the ground, some severely injured, and others a bit less so, but only one man was still in combat shape. Jürgen pushed his heavily muscled and well-roasted comrade off of him like so much trash. When he stood, his face was a mask of seething anger. Gone was the immaculate image of a man in control with a bespoke suit and well-coiffed hair. What was left was a being of pure hate. He spared not a glance at his fallen comrades, not even the one that had just saved his life, but instead glared at a blackened doorway. The storage room he'd been trying to get into now lay bare, the door hanging onto the frame by the bottom hinge alone. Since chasing his prey into the closet, only minutes had passed, but it felt like hours. Jürgen checked the room, expecting to find Finn either dead or unconscious. Instead, what he saw made him feel like he aged years in a single second. Hate tattooed itself in his heart, and a seed of madness was planted in his mind. Sola stepped over the dead and wounded with calculated dispassion. When she looked inside the room, however, there was nothing detached about the joy that bloomed on her face. It was empty. Finn was not in the room, which meant she'd been right. He was special. Hanging in midair was a bronze circle with a gem in the middle. The gem was a rich green. A faint red haze surrounded the object. For some reason, that rouge color appeared sinister. While Jürgen and Sola watched, brilliant flames consumed the disc, whatever it was. The fire flashed brightly before both it and the item vanished without a trace. The two powered, members of different familias, merely stood there for long seconds, hearing the moans of the injured, both bloody but unbowed. After a moment, Sola sniffed, before delicately and innocently asking,
"He got away?"
Jürgen's fists squeezed so tight that blood bloomed in his palms. Silence reigned until a tragic voice answered,
"I am Klaus."